One of the verbal tics I had early in my ministry, and I believe it's one I have been able to let go of, was addressing the people in the pews as my friends. And I'm sure you've seen politicians do that. In front of a huge crowd of people, hundreds or thousands, they say, "My friends." And I have to wonder, how many of the people in the crowds would the politician really want to go and share a beer with? Or ask to help out with a project at his house? Or just spend some time? They're Facebook friends, right? I don't know how many of you are on that social media platform, but it is easy to make friends on Facebook. All you have to do is click once, and there you are. You don't have to know the person. You don't have to ever meet them, but they become a friend. And then, of course, we all know about companies that address their customers as their friends. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's the kind of friendship that Jesus is talking about. That's not the kind of friendship that we want our kids to learn about. We want something that is deeper, that is lasting, and that stands. And yet, in all of those instances, I think the use of the term friends shouldn't be seen cynically. It's speaking to a deep-seated need on our part to form connections, to form ties with people. One of the phrases that's become popular in recent years, and this is where I'm glad we don't have any teenagers in this sanctuary, because my use of slang would make them cringe, is BFFs, right? Best friends forever. Do any of you have any BFFs? Would any of you even admit to it? Jesus did. Jesus had the disciples. And we don't know whether he had friends before he went in the ministry, but we know he had friends outside the disciples. Think of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. These were people he wanted to spend time with. These were people we can presume he laughed with, who caused him to roll his eyes, who ticked him off, who helped him out, who stayed with him through thick and thin. They didn't always have the same personalities, but they got along with one another. Friendship matters. And perhaps it's not what we expect Scripture to be talking about. We think maybe Scripture should be talking about how to keep us from sinning, how to be good disciples, how to be faithful or lead righteous lives. But we see here that Jesus places great value on friendship. Today's reading from John occurs in the midst of the farewell discourses. Jesus knows he's going to the cross. He knows things aren't going to end well. And what does he do in his final hours and days? He focuses on the disciples and their needs. Think about that. There's a selflessness there. There's a willing to give and to share. There's a caring. Now, it's been said that families can't be chosen, but friends can. That's true to a degree, because there are some limits on how we can pick friends. Time and circumstance play a huge role. And of course, the person you want to be friends with has to want the same with you. There has to be some reciprocity. I was thinking about all of this, and I got to thinking about some friends that I've known in my life. There are friends like Jay and Andy, two guys I met when I was a camp counselor almost 40 years ago. We were just teenagers then, and of course, like teens everywhere, we knew exactly what was up and what was down and what the adults didn't know. But we've stayed friends over those four decades. Through college, through marriage, through children, we're still in touch. We live in different parts of the country, but usually I make a habit of getting down to New York to visit with Jay every year. And that's a chance just for us to be in touch with one another, to hear about what's going on with one another's lives. Sometimes we make friends in toxic situations. For a few years, I worked at a place where the guy running the division was something out of Dilbert, and he did not know how to manage people. And Jeff and I were able to bond amidst the insanity of this place, and we found that we shared a love of the absurd and of politics and the Red Sox. And we too have stayed in touch over the years, though we live in different places. We've been in one another's weddings, and it's been a great joy. There's my friend Jack, who I met in church, and we shared a love of running. And I became friends with Jack, and then his wife, and his brother, and his whole family, and that was a blessing. These are all friends I've known for years. And most experience in life is that as we get older, it's harder for us to make friends and to form attachments. So it's really important for us to nurture the friendships we have. And there are times when we might fall down on the job, and we might lose a friend through inattention, through thoughtlessness, through carelessness. And sometimes we regret that, and sometimes we don't. But one of the ways that we can lose friends that really can affect us is through death. Now, I've talked with you about my friend Stanley, who was my boss when I was in college at the Historical Society. And Stanley was older than I was, but we formed a bond. And we went from being employer and employee to being friends. And we were in touch over the years, and we often had breakfast, and we loved to talk about history and politics, about our families. And then Stan began to succumb to dementia. And watching a friend lose his personality was hard. And I suspect it would have been easy to just withdraw and not see what happened. But I knew that would be the wrong thing to do, because a friend is supposed to be there through thick and thin. I remember presiding at Stan's funeral, and I got to see how many people loved him, his wife and his friends. And I actually made some new friends at his funeral. And that was a great gift. So why am I telling you all of this? I'm hoping you'll see today's lesson from Scripture as being something you can apply in your own lives. That you can think about the friends you have made over the years. Maybe the friends you want to reconnect with. Maybe that BFF that you want to call up when you go home from church today. Jesus talks about love being so great that you give up your life for a friend. And one of the commentaries I read referred to an apocryphal story of priests in the Church of England in World War I preaching this text to young men going off to war, telling them that they should be willing to sacrifice their lives for their friends. If the story's true, it's a misapplication of the text. Jesus wasn't telling the disciples what they should do. Jesus was telling the disciples what he would do. What are we willing to give up to be friends? What are we willing to share? Being a friend isn't just about getting stuff. It's about giving. It's about being inconvenienced. It's about putting up with personality traits we might find annoying. It's about abiding somebody's differing opinions. Being a friend is holy work. It's a sacred activity. That doesn't mean you can't go bowling or play baseball or watch a movie. But there's something about God being present in a good friendship. In a few minutes, we're going to share communion, and we'll take the bread and the cup. And at that time, we will remember that we are called to be friends. Another word we often use a little bit loosely is family. We're a family of friends here. And sometimes we love one another, and sometimes we tolerate one another. But we all choose to be here. So think of the friends you have, whether you've met them at work or in school, whether you've met them in church. And take a moment to thank God for those friends. Take a moment to thank God for Jesus, who shows us how to be.